Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. Welcome to another episode in our very special National Adoption Awareness Month series, Stories of the Constellation. This week, we feature a story about kinship adoption, which refers to a formal legal adoption process of a child by their relative or kin, such as a grandparent, aunt, or uncle. What many may not know about kinship adoption is that the process is the same as a non-kin adoption, which can come as a surprise and a challenge for many families, especially in cases where the adoption is international and is prompted by the death of a child's main caregiver, creating real urgency in moving the adoption along. This was the case for Blondine, who shares her story on today's episode. Let's jump in and hear what it was like for Blondine to adopt her niece and nephew from Jamaica. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Adoption Talk. My name is Alexandra Poirier, and I work in the Development and Communications Department at Spence Chapin. I am excited to be with Blondine today, so... Blondine, please introduce and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Blondine Goldburn, and I have recently, well, not so recently, almost 2 years now, participated in an international adoption, and that was my first time doing that. I did a kin-to-kin adoption with my biological niece and nephew from Jamaica. And so that was definitely an interesting experience in doing that and kind of learning how the whole process of adoption works and how it differs, which from my experience is not very different from regular international adoption. So the only difference that I was able to discover is that the agency is not providing you and finding the children. You already have the children, but the process was surprisingly pretty much the same, which is just a very arduous process to do that, especially when you're talking about on the international level, like in doing that from another country and so forth. So my profession is I am an active duty soldier. I am currently stationed in New York City working as a healthcare recruiter. So to be able to provide a better quality of life for my nieces and nephew, which are now my children, was to me a great opportunity to do that because it came out of such a tragic situation with me losing my brother, which is, you know, their dad. And so it was important for me and my family that I took these kids in, which I did. There's not a day that goes by that I regret the decision. It's been a wonderful experience for me, and I'm still, of course, learning a year and a half later how to really be a great mom.
Yeah, so of course. I hear that that does not come immediately. So when you say your family and kind of your extended family, so it's you and your son and your daughter, and then who else is in the picture in your extended family? Like who
my parents. Yeah. My parents have been such a pillar of support for me. They help me because as a soldier, I do have to travel for work. In fact, I was at Army school doing some training, and I was gone for like almost 3 weeks. And so, you know, my parents really stepped in and took up those responsibility and making sure the kids were taken care of while I'm away doing that. So that was a huge help to me, because initially I wasn't supposed to come to New York City. I was stationed to be in Vancouver, Washington, which was so far away, but I know I needed the support of my family in order to help me with these children. And the military was generous enough to change my assignment and brought me back home, which New York City is home for me and my family. I'm living here so I could get the support. So that was a lot. And, you know, most other jobs and so forth don't necessarily provide you with that opportunity. So it was great to have, you know, the support of the military as well in helping me to make this transition.
Yeah, I imagine so. Because before this, you moved recently too, right? That was...
Correct. I was coming from Texas.
Yeah, so it was a lot of change in a small period of time then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so going back to sort of the beginning of the process, when did you first consider adopting your niece and nephew? Like, what was the initial moment where you thought, okay, this might be the way we want to go?
Yeah, so after my brother died, which was in March of 2019, and, you know, after funeral arrangements and doing all of that, we decided that, because he was the primary caregiver for these children, and we just know that we, meaning my family and I, my parents and other siblings, we just knew that they weren't going to get the same quality of life and care that they would have gotten if my brother was still there, because he was that focal person for them. You know, they were living with him. Mm-hmm. He was their primary caregiver, and he had such a good relationship with his children, especially my nephew, who was 12 at the time, and my niece was 9 months old. So we knew that their quality of life would not, you know, be good if they continued to stay in Jamaica. And so I made the decision, because I didn't have any children of my own. So, you know, and I have a stable job, career, and all of that. So, and I was very close to my brother, and I knew that this was something that he would have wanted and appreciated. And I did that. Process really started in late 2019, and then of course the pandemic hit in 2020, which Oof. Brought everything to almost a screeching halt, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially with the whole process on Jamaica's end, because, you know, it was a lot of the government shutdown and these agencies and so forth, and then the immigration piece took a lot of the time as well and resources to really navigate that, because the adoption agency can only do so much. You know, the rest is kind of on you as the prospective adoptive parent to really do that legwork. So that was something mm-hmm. I discovered as well.
Yeah. No, I imagine. I heard that there was a lot of those sorts of shutdowns and issues with international adoption in particular, because it was... nothing was running for such a long time, which of course is upsetting when you think about all the kids and the time they're spending, especially, you know, both of your kids were in very pivotal points in their lives. Mm-hmm. One of them being, mm-hmm. you know, about to head into middle school, and the other.
Yeah, it took almost 2 years. It was absolutely crazy. You know, it was the pandemic. That really kind of slowed some of that stuff down, but immigration was just horrible, you mm-hmm. know, in terms of their process and how they did things. That just really, really slowed down the process, unnecessarily so.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things did you have to do for the international adoption and the immigration process what were some of the pieces you had to pull together in order to adopt your kids?
So for the international adoption, you know, the U.S. requires you to use an agency that was like Hague certified, like as they said. So I had to research different agencies to make sure I was using the right agency. Mm-hmm. And so Jamaica was telling me, oh, you don't need an adoption agency. This is a process you can do by yourself. Well, that is true. But in order to get a home study, you can't request a home study for yourself. You have to have, whether it's a lawyer or an agency, request that home study on your behalf. Mm. And so I had to go back and get an adoption agency now pay those fees for them to really just request the home study for me with their credentials. They did that. I did the home study in Texas with everything kind of being slowed down and delayed, and sending that to Jamaica, then for Jamaica to conduct their own research, so to speak, reviewing the documents. Then they had to go to the home to make sure that the children were living in the condition that we stated that they were living in, and to get the parents to really turn over their the remaining living parent to turn over their parental right, which they were agreeable to doing. That was a process as well. Jamaica had to approve that, even mm-hmm. though, you know, all parties agreed that this was the best course of action, but they still had to do their due diligence. So that took, you know, months of going through the process. And then with the pandemic, I had to do a court appearance, which they kind of changed that to a Zoom, which I had to do a court appearance with the judge to go over everything to give me an adoption order. Once I got the adoption order, then we had to wait to now get the new birth certificates. Once we get the new birth certificates, then we have to file what's called an I-600. And the I-600 goes to immigration for immigration to tell you now, okay, now you can apply for a visa. Then you mm-hmm. had to send the I-600N,
oh my goodness,
which is the actual application. Then they get that. Then you have to have the kids go do a visa medical and all of that, you know, different medical and vaccinations and all of that mm-hmm. to get a date for the interview. Then I had to have someone take them to the interview to get the visa, then wait for them to issue the visa, which was another month from, it was just a lot.
Yeah, that sounds
so involved.
For me
to finally be able to go to Jamaica to actually get the kids.
Oh my gosh.
And then by the time all of that happened, my assignment time was up in Texas. So here I am in New York, New Jersey, which they're now telling me, oh, you need a new home study because you're now living at a different place. So I had to go back and get an amended home study.
And I imagine that's where Spence Chapin came in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so you did all of this. You've gotten all the documents to all the different places. And then you were able to go to Jamaica from there. Whenabouts was this from the start
this
of the process?
This was August. This was around August, maybe 10th or so. I went to Jamaica and I came back. So the kids and I came back on August 16th.
Okay, and just
2021.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask mm-hmm. because you started this whole process in 2019. So.
Yes.
So then you went from, you went and grabbed them from Jamaica and brought them mm-hmm. home. And what was it like when your kids first arrived home?
That part wasn't hard. Actually, me being with them and bonding and all of that wasn't hard because, you know, that was the advantage that I had, that we were kin. I've had a very close relationship with them. I always, you know, knew them. We do FaceTime videos. When my brother was alive, we communicated well. So I've always helped him to raise the children. So they were always kind of mine, you know,
yeah.
and his. So every year since my nephew was, you know, school age, 4 or 5, so every year I would send the tuition and help my brother with those things. You know what I mean? I get mm-hmm. the uniforms, the tuition, and he would provide, you know, like lunch money, school trips. So we kind of tag team on that because we've just always been a close-knit family. And I was in a position to financially help. So mm-hmm. I've always helped my brother. So I've always had a good relationship with my nephew. The baby, on the other hand, like I said, she was 9 months old. So by the time everything was processed, she was 2.
Wow, yeah. A big difference.
Yeah, she was no longer a baby. She was 2.
Yeah, that's
but,
a toddler.
So it was a little easier, you know, for her because, you know, she's still small. So there wasn't a lot of separation anxiety from her mom, surprisingly. You mm-hmm. know, we bonded really well. And, you know, she had familiarity with myself being there and then with her brother, you know, so she knew someone and it just kind of flowed. Now, you know, it was pretty seamless. So I'm appreciative of that. The only growing pains, though, was, you know, you have a teenage boy that's going to high school and the challenges of high school and the academics. But other than that, you know, I don't have any major issues with them, behavioral or otherwise. I'm really grateful for that.
So while you were going through all of this, especially in this, how have you gotten support from your other family members and your friends? You had mentioned also your place of work was able to be flexible with you, which is,
yes,
of course, a really good advantage. But how did other people in your life support you as you brought these kids home?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm blessed to have, you know, a good family. Like I said, we're a close-knit family. And so they really kind of stepped in and helped, you know, emotionally supportive in terms of helping me if I need advice, if I need childcare and all of that stuff, you know, clothes for the children. So I really get a lot of support in that regards, you know, for them. As far as my friends, you know, when their birthdays come up, they get gifts, Christmas and all of that stuff. So they're just making them feel really welcome and like they're my own children. And, you know, this has just been their life ever since. So they're pretty much acculturated. And I do help them to maintain relationship with their mom. So, you know, I'll have them video call, you know, maybe once a week or so. And I'll, you know, try to encourage that. So to ease them into this new life. So it's not like, oh, they're totally forgotten about this other person and they don't have any access. So, you know, so I kind of have that open line of communication if they want it.
Yeah. And I'm sure that that's really comforting to have that access to a home, especially for your son who had so much of his childhood there.
Yes.
With that too, now that you're in the United States and you are also, were you born in Jamaica and did you grow up there?
I was.
Yeah, so have you been, how do you feel about making sure that your children's culture is still present in their lives, and how do you guys kind of work together to achieve that?
Great question. So we're still very much a Jamaican household. You know, we still eat the same food, pretty much. You know, we still speak the dialect in the house. My whole family is Jamaican, so you know, it's not something we can get rid of. You know, when they go to school, you know, they, like I said, they've learned to acculturate and they have done that. So they have friends, you know, especially my son. He has friends that he hangs out because he plays soccer. So that was a really great opportunity for him to integrate, too, because sports can be such a great opportunity to bring people together. And so with him playing on the high school team, and he's very good at soccer, he wants to be a professional soccer player. So I encourage that. So I have him, you know, he plays games, he's with the team and stuff like that. So at school, you know, he's been able to fit in and stuff like that, hasn't really had any issues or anything like that. And at home, you know, I try to expose them to different things, but we're Jamaican through and through, so.
Yeah, and that's wonderful that you guys have each other and have that knowledge and sense of self. When you were going through this process, was it what you were expecting when you originally decided or not?
It was not. I don't know if it was, I was naive in that sense, thinking it was going to be a short process, but it wasn't. And the amount of resources that you have to provide to go through this process is definitely something that I would advise people to make sure that, you know, you're aware of and you're financially equipped to do an adoption, especially an international adoption. It is not cheap. So it's definitely you have to make sure that your resources are good and available, and that I've always been, like I said, single, and I bought a home here in New Jersey. So that was one of the things that I had to really focus my mind on is, okay, the school district, am I living in a place where there's a great school district that the kids will have access to, you know, safe neighborhood and all of those things. So those were things that, you know, I really had to kind of like consider for the first time, because as a single person, you know, you live into an apartment or somewhere where, you know, you have amenities, the pools and all of those fancy things. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily thinking of a suburban neighborhood. So I had to, you know, reorient myself, so to speak, to that, to make sure that everything was now catered to their needs and making sure that they were okay.
What has been the best part of kinship adoption and the process?
Being a mother and being able to provide them with that better quality of life that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you have any advice for other people who are currently going through their own kinship adoption journeys?
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is, you know, be patient. Be patient with the process, trust the process, and knowing that, you know, there is a silver lining at the end. And that, you know, no matter, sometimes you may doubt yourself or doubt the process or whatever it is that you're doing, but it will be worth it. And to just continue to be patient and really kind of take the time to develop that bond with the children and figuring out what you want life to look like for them once you actually have them.
Wow, that's amazing. And thank you so much for being here today, Blondine. I really appreciate learning about you and your kids and your story. And I think that our audience will as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you or someone you know needs support in a kinship adoption, our team of adoption experts is here to support you. We can provide guidance and resources to get you started, conduct your home study, and provide counseling and other support to ensure a smooth transition for your family. To learn more, contact us at info@spence-chapin.org or call us at 212-369-0300. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.